the message for relations in the family, the children. And the text that we want to look at is taken from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. Remember, we mentioned in our first message that the relationship between father and son is a modeling of our relationship in eternity between our heavenly Father and us. There is that correlation that the Lord wants us to see and understand our eternal position, privileged position. Right? And the Lord wants us to learn while we are on earth in this training ground where He puts us into families, to learn the action of obedience. The word obey means to hear or to take heed. So there is an element of listening, right, with a ear to obey. Listening with a ear to obey. And you realize that the voice of instruction from the parents, godly parents, filled with the Spirit of God, are instructions that tend to life. Children obeying them would receive the blessing of God. You noticed in the garden, when God put Adam and Eve in this ready paradise that He has created, right? It was the most wonderful place of enjoyment, of fulfillment that God has placed them in. But there was one thing that God told them they are not to do. You remember? They are not to partake of the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That was the only instruction that God gave to Adam and Eve, what they ought not to do. And you find that in the garden, they failed the test. They, you said, were beguiled by the serpent. The serpent came, and the serpent twisted the word of God. And the serpent came and said to Adam and Eve, "Thou shalt not surely die," overturning the word of God. Very scary, isn't it? You realize that as parents, oftentimes you pass instructions to your children. There are many things that you cannot explain, many things that you cannot speak of, explain too much. The consequences, the repercussions. But by a simple instruction, do this, obey this. As parents, you realize that you have foresight. You have insight. Because God has endowed you with His wisdom. And therefore, you have that wisdom to speak and instruct your children in the way he should go. And what should be the response of the children? It is to obey the good instruction of father and mother. And you realize that in a Christian home, when father and mother would teach children the way he should go, you'll find that it is the way of blessing, the way the way in which if they would do, it would be protection for them. It would be blessing for them. And you notice that the instruction to children is to obey their parents, because God placed parents as a modeling of authority first in the home. And if the children fail in that lesson of obedience in the home, when they go out to the larger society, right, you will find that they would face the barrage, right, of onslaught in Satan's world. And if they fail to obey the simple instruction at home, you will find that they would be rebels and delinquents in society. And that's why we said that teaching, nurturing, admonition, discipline begins in the home. And how we realized as adults and parents the grave responsibility that God has endowed upon us to be models, to be examples for the children, and how important it is that children from a young age is taught obedience. And the word there, to obey, is a command from God. Right? Something that we are to do for our protection, for our blessing. And that command also comes with it a continuous tense, meaning that you are to obey continually, all the time. And how do you train a child to have that kind of an obedience? You realize that there are some things in life you cannot meddle with. One wrong step and it will plunge you, you know, into regrets that, you know, you cannot salvage. And that's why the parents' instruction to the children to obey is so important. And the instruction to for children towards their parents is this obedience. So the children's duty in the home is to obey. And the parents' duty is to teach them obedience in a godly and nurturing process, to lead them along with love and with grace. And so the Christian home is one where children obey and honor their parents, and fathers nurture their children in the Lord. And you realize that this doesn't come easy, because children are born, as David confessed in Psalm 51. It says that in iniquity, right, has my mother, or was I being shaped? Well, I was born with that sin nature. Right, depravity is within me. And so that child that is yours, you would find that the challenge is a sanctifying one. So as parents, it is to provide that sanctifying influence to the child. And for that child, you'll find to be able to obey. Right? The Spirit of God must be in that heart. Without that Spirit in the heart, they will not obey. Not only will they not obey, but they will, you know, be rebels to everything that the parents would say. And you realize that this modeling of teaching children, right, to obey is what we would see ourselves in eternity, in our relationship with the Father. And so here on earth is our training ground. And the Bible tells us that when we obey our parents with a heart to honor them, right? This is what God wants us to do. And, you know, when we speak about children obeying their parents in the Lord, we are speaking about a covenant family. We are speaking about instructions, godly instructions, which benefit the children. And here, the children is asked, the Apostle Paul is here quoting the commandment, to honor father and mother. And he says that this is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee. You notice that all the Ten Commandments, this is the only commandment with a promise of God's blessing. And, you know, to honor, this word involves more than just obedience. It is to obey joyfully. Huh, that is something that is not easy. Right? The person who obeys must be able to understand why he is doing so and how it is a blessing to do so in the Lord. And you realize that oftentimes, obedience can be masked by an outward form without an inward consent. The heart is still resisting. The heart is still resentful. The heart is still angry. The heart is still reluctant. The heart is still defiant. That is not obedience. And that's why, you know, teaching children to obey, you realize that it is not an easy task at all. Depraved human being, unless it is by the sanctifying power of the Spirit of God, when the Spirit of God would fill that child. And so you'll find that this child rearing process, this process of turning, you know, a rebel into a saint, is a painstaking process of grace that God has entrusted for the parents. And here, the encouragement that is given to the children for their obedience is that God would bless them. God would bless them with long life, that thou mayest live long on the earth. What does it mean? Well, God will always give them a place of blessing or service in the Lord as they obey their parents, as they honor their parents. And, you know, this commandment here does not just refer to children with Christian parents, but children with non-Christian parents. Your obedience, the way you would honor them, is a reflection of God's law. And you find that, you know, it has a sanctifying influence on the unbelieving. Just like in a husband-wife relationship, when the wife or the husband is not a believer, do you still love your wife who is still not a believer? Would the wife still submit to the husband or the wife who is not a believer? The answer is yes. Trusting God. And so here, it tells us that there is a promise of God's blessing. And you realize here that when we learn to obey our parents in the home, we will be okay when we go into society. We learn how to have a basic understanding of authority in our lives. We understand that we need to be under for our good. Sometimes we resist. We don't want to be subjected. And that's not good. Because in that subjection, in that submission to the authority, you'll find that you are able to find a space of blessing by that submission. And so here, parents are, children are commanded and asked to obey. They are asked to honor. And here, we want us to see that this attitude to be cultivated is an attitude that must be inculcated when opportunities are given for the child. And so, at a young age, in the home, so the starting place and the foundation for all earthly relationship is the child's duty to obey, to honor his or her parents. And you realize that our God places the obedience to parents just after our obedience to God. They are the earthly representative of a heavenly authority. And so by the way the parents see, the children see their parents, they have an understanding of the God who is superintending over them in their lives. And the Lord tells us and teaches us how, you know, that there are, in Israel, in the Old Testament, how it is commanded in the law of Moses, how children who disobey father and mother, here we are speaking about juvenile delinquents. We are talking about rebellious children. What will they do with this? It says here, to be put to death. He hath that curse his father or his mother. His blood shall be upon him. He that smiteth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. And so, in Israel, the rebellious or the stubborn child who will not obey the voice of his father and mother, the chastening that would come from them, the parents have a duty to bring them under the authority of the elders of the city, at the gate of his place where they would be disciplined. And here, you know, the discipline in Israel tells us how crucial it is, right? How crucial it is that God sees, right, the obedience of a child to the voice of the father. And you see, if they fail to obey a godly instruction, what is the other outcome? Well, it is to go their own way. And oftentimes, you know, you would see it enacted when they begin relationships outside the home, right? Through peers, and later on through life partners, right? You'll find that they would go a different direction. And we have many parents who lament and said, my children, they are going to marry an unbeliever. Is it possible to talk to them? Is it possible to turn them around? Can we pray that God would turn them around? You'll find that when they are not taught and trained from young to obey the instructions from the Word of God, when they grow up, when their arms are stronger than you, for them to obey without a heart that is under authority, without the fear of God in their hearts, you'll find that they would go the other way. Their hearts would turn. And, you know, we see many a sad father and mother having to deal, having to handle, right, relationships, spouses of their own children who are outside Christ. They cannot worship together. And inadvertently, they would be lost to the world. And so this basic instruction of teaching children to obey, right, and telling us the seriousness of it must not be under-emphasized. And how is it that parents is able to teach their children to obey? Well, the Bible does give us instruction. And this involves what we call parental discipline. You know, when God deals with us, God doesn't just allow us to go wayward. You know, if we are His child and not do anything. But He would allow us to go through a process whereby we receive the chastening hand of God, just like Israel of old. Right? They went after idols, king after king. Many hundreds of years. And what happened? God deported them out of the land. They lost all their blessings. And life became so miserable. And they learn. But they learn it the hard way. And so you realize that parents have that duty to correct them. And what we are saying here is that we are dealing with sin. Sinful, depraved children. Don't think that that little child there that you are holding is an innocent child. Right? The Bible tells us that they are shaped in iniquity. And so the Lord wants us to see and understand that the only way children can learn obedience is by being taught to obey. And that's where parental discipline comes in. And we have spoken of it earlier, and we mentioned it here again. The use of the rod. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. He that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Sometimes it is so heartbreaking, right, to have to discipline a child. But you realize that without discipline, right, there would not be order, just like in the church. There is church governance. There is church discipline. God places Adam and Eve in a paradise. One thing God said to them that they must not do. They must not eat of the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There is a consequence to disobedience. And so when we show our children why they ought not to do something, well, we need to show them what's wrong with it. But at the same time, we need to also teach them that the fear of God may be in their heart. And oftentimes, you'll find that it involves a spanking. And you realize that, you know, you buy those cane, this little thin cane. And sometimes you might not have to use it. But looking at the cane, the child realizes that there is a consequence to disobedience. And if you look at society, the Singapore law, what do you have for the errand caning? And what kind of caning? You won't want to be caned. Right, in that way, the mother's cane or the father's cane is sugar cane, right? Compared with that kind of a caning that would come. And therefore, you'll find that it may be tough. Right? Oftentimes, it breaks the heart of the parents to have to do that. But here, the instruction from God's word is not to withhold correction. Not to withhold correction from the child. And the Bible tells us that you will beat him, he shall not die. But he learned to fear. Not servile fear. But he learned that there is a consequence to disobedience. What was the consequence for Adam and Eve? A grave one, right? In that disobedience, you turn to Genesis chapter 3. What was the consequence of that disobedience? Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. Says unto Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened. You notice the word hearken there is the same word for to obey, to hear, and to do unto the voice of thy wife, and thou hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. And thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. hard labor. Hard labor. You see, there's a consequence to it. And God said to them, right, to die you shall die. You shall surely die. And that's how death came into being. And so sometimes the children may not be able to understand and see the evil, right? But the parents who knows better, would be in that position to help the child, right? And Proverbs 20 verse 30 says, the blueness of a wound cleanses away evil. So do the inward parts of the belly. And so the Lord wants us to see and understand the duty of children in this fourth message. The children's duty in the home is to obey. And the parents' duty is to teach them obedience in a godly, nurturing process. And that obedience must become a habit in their lives, that they learn how to submit themselves to authority, submit joyfully, to be happy, to be under authority. Do you know that it's a blessing to be under authority? Because you are under the protection of that instruction. And so sometimes we don't realize the blessing that we have when God places over us authority. It is for our good, for our eternal blessings. And so we want to conclude. Now, with a summary, right, of what we have just spoken about this today, the relationship between the husband and wife, right, we have spoken at length why God instituted the marriage relationship, how it is modeling, right, our eternal relationship with God in heaven, and the parent-child relationship models for us that eternal plan of God that God wants us to know and see. And then for the children, the need to train them in obedience. And you realize that we are so weak in a sense that we find ourselves so inadequate to this task. But you realize that when God gives His commandment, and if we would be willing to obey, you would also find the grace of God following you to bless you with the strength to receive the blessing. So we have spoken about the heavenly outcome, and we have spoken about that modeling on earth in earthly relationships. tomorrow, we are going to continue. We're going to speak about how when the various members in the family would play their God-given roles, they would be able to come together and worship God as a covenant family according to the will of God for the blessing of God. Then we are going to speak also about the conflicts that arises in the home. What are those conflicts that oftentimes tears the family apart? And if we were to think and analyze, well, these are not difficult things, but because of our depravity, we find that there are some things that we cannot let go of that is hindering the family from prospering. So we just have to make certain adjustments, right? Adjustments to what we are now. And you'll find that, you know, God will speed you along the way towards building a covenant family for His honor and glory. Let us commit this time to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank Thee for this series of messages today concerning the various roles of the members in the Christian home. Lord, may Thou help us, whether we are parents, whether we are children, whether we are husband, whether we are wife, to know Thy blessed ordinance, Thy blessed will for our learning, modeling in this earthly sojourn, this temporal sojourn, for an eternal blessing to come. Lord, help us to see the eternal perspective of our earthly sojourn. Continue to guide us as we search the scriptures together. This I pray with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name. Amen.